Hi, welcome to the Cosmetic Queens podcast, aka the Stab and Jab. I'm Stacy.
And I'm Jenna. And this is episode
Deuce. Anyway, moving right along. And to set the tone, we are going to talk to you today about black market Botox. We're going to talk to you about reps that are a little bit of a scammers. We're going to talk to you about some shady people in the industry. We're going to talk to you about the moral minefield of medical aesthetics.
We're going to be honest. We're going to be weird.
Authentic, weird, and honest coming at you. We want to tell the patients what they should be on the lookout for in this industry. And we also want to tell our colleagues what they should be, you know, trying to focus on and to avoid any pitfalls that we've encountered.
Yeah, because it would have been nice to have that information right
off the bat. Awkward turtle face, insert it here.
Why? You don't like what I said?
I love it. I love it. It would have been nice to know. Okay? So let us make the mistakes so you don't have to.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's a great time.
Right? That's a great time. So let's start. Should we tell them the tea that the patients need to know?
Sure.
Okay. Let's dig in. So how do we spot a legit injector versus a sketchy one, Jenna?
Oh, well, what we hear is patients, whoa, I saw this on Instagram.
Yeah, if one more person brings me in a TikTok video,
can you do this?
I'm just gonna take your phone and I'm just gonna
throw it. So that is not a way to vet
your
injector.
Why? What happened to my face? You wanna tell the people?
Which time?
This is embarrassing. All right, so people have been telling me lately, you look better and better and better. Well, this is weird because we're taking filler out of my face. So clearly I should be looking older and older and older, but I had some poorly placed filler. And this was because I had gone to a bunch of conferences and I thought this woman was really intelligent. I thought that she followed evidence-based medicine. Yep. I was like, you know what? This is going to be really good.
Her Instagram showed that.
Instagram sold us.
Yeah.
Right? We were like, oh, she is so good.
Stacey says to me before she leaves, do you mind if she injects me? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. It's like having her like autograph. It's so cool. Do it.
It was very bad. I called Jenna crying outside of her office. I had just left and I said, my face is so
up.
And then I flew back and
we met right after you got in.
Yep. And then Jenna was like, well, let's give it time. We always tell our patients 4 to 6 weeks for integration. We
got backtrack.
Let it settle.
Quick backtrack. You were wearing a mask. I hadn't really seen you wear a mask, not even during COVID.
Yeah.
So I knew something was
up.
Was up a little bit.
She knew something was awry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she unmasked it.
We like to refer to that time of my life as basketball face Stacy. And
we're over it.
Maybe we can link a couple pictures just for the people for fun. Because it is a sight. Okay. Sight.
I still thought you were beautiful.
Oh, you have to say that because you're my best friend.
No, I don't.
Looking at them side by side, you guys will giggle. You'll giggle. But this just goes to show that Instagram is not a good way to vet your injector. Okay.
So please don't.
You could have the best Instagram in the whole world and still be a crappy injector.
Yeah.
What about time, experience?
I think experience is huge.
Yeah. And can you just go off that?
No, you can't go off absolutely of just not. Experience because you could be doing the wrong thing for 10 years.
100%.
So that's definitely not.
Yep. No, so we're not going to vet them that way. And should we go by whose price is lowest?
Lowest?
Yeah.
Like Groupon? Like
Groupon. Yeah.
No, man.
I hear this all the time. You and Jenna are so expensive. Actually, we're not.
It's your face.
Thank you.
What do you want? You want a Groupon for your face?
No, we don't want a Groupon our face. No, we don't. And here's the problem with Grouponing the face, right? Like, I'm all for giving our clients a good deal.
Yes.
Right? Like, our patients deserve the very best. Mm-hmm. Injectors, you should be trying to cater to your patients because not everybody is a millionaire. Okay.
That's for sure.
And at one point, I want injectors, you to remember that you actually had to pay for these treatments too before you were an injector and got samples and things like that. And I remember getting to the counter and almost wanting to cry, but I really needed Botox. Okay. I needed it.
You know, I'd prefer the Botox over like new tires. Yeah. So
yeah, 100%. So we budgeted for this, but just remember, like, be kind to your patients. We want them to be able to afford these treatments. Bundle right. your stuff, offer discounts, offer, you know, we offer giveaways all the time.
Yes.
We work with our reps to give us, you know, a free treat for our loyal customers, but
yeah,
you do not want to be the lowest price.
Well, and you don't want to go Grouponing your face, because what if something terrible happens and then you've spent all of that money, even if it's lower, mm-hmm. and then you're like, oh my gosh.
100%.
Yeah.
So, and they've actually ended up spending like double or triple. So we've had a lot of patients that mm-hmm. come in and they will say, you know, oh, I went somewhere because they were having a Groupon or they had a discount or they were really a lot cheaper. And then they're like, I'm unhappy. And now I'm like, well, now we not only have to reverse what happened, but we also have to charge you. And Jen and I used to feel bad about this, but we don't really feel bad anymore. We're like, listen, you should really be doing your research. It is your face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we will help you figure it out, but you'll end up spending two or three times more if you just don't Groupon your face.
And in the chance it turns out great, awesome. But I mean,
don't do it. All right. So red flags to look for on social media, Jenna. So first of all, we've seen a lot of injectors that buy a lot of followers now. I'm like, oh, how'd that one go from 600 followers to
16,000? I was like, no, Stacey, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. And then we looked at them.
And then if you click on some of these, and I encourage you guys to do this. Like, I don't know how many people do this, but I do this now because I found out about this. So like, I'll go on to whoever I think is this amazing injector, and then I'll look at who their followers are. Mm-hmm. If it is like RGK257 underscore 3XYZ WX
one picture,
buckle my shoe, one picture, four pictures, and no followers. This is a bot. They bought a bunch of bots. Okay. And so it might look like, oh, wow, look at all these followers they have. And, you know, they're like over 100K. And some of them really are, but some of them are bought in followers. And do we want that? Is that trustworthy and authentic?
No.
I don't
like anxiety over it when you said that. I'm like, that can't happen, literally.
Yeah, it happens more than we would like.
Ugh.
Lot of filters, lot of lighting tricks. Shout out to our guy, Dr. Subio.
Love him.
He is just a gem. He's rocking the aesthetic world, and the fact that he's bringing a lot of light to things that I've thought for a long time, that you've thought for a long time. Yeah. So lighting tricks, you know, having a before picture that's really, really shadowed and in an awkward position, mm-hmm. like this. And then all of a sudden the after photo is like, ooh, really like jutted out, and
that's
like with
nice
spotlights and like maybe a little makeup. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, that looks really good. And mm-hmm. to the lay person, like, oh, sure. Wow, great before and after.
Yeah.
But like, you really want to look at these. You also want to look at, there are so many tricks with cameras nowadays where you can like take the before at like a very close up angle, and then take the after at like a far angle, and then zoom in on it, mm-hmm. or like do a little filter over
it. You can kind of see the pixelations in that. So yeah, I learned how to take my pictures from my best buddy.
I dropped my Neato on the ground. Thank you. Shout out to these.
Neato. It's our favorite thing.
I know, we squeeze these all the time because we're fidgeters.
So back to the pictures.
Back to those.
Stacey had this whole protocol.
Yep.
And
love a good standardized.
And protocol. Honestly, like when I first looked at that, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. But then like when I started taking my pictures with it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. But like now I understand, because you can just by just switching it just gently.
Yeah.
You can trick.
Yeah. And some people will even have the patient lay down for the after photo.
Oh, yeah. Because everything looks better.
Oh, we all look better back.
Yeah.
Like this. I mean, gravity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important. I mean, I just went through those studies the other day with our guy that came in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's like, do you like these before and afters? And I'm like, actually,
yeah,
I don't.
And then the rep was like, Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm like, the light reflex is not the same in this photo. I'm like, do we have a scale for this photo? Do we know if the lighting was the same? Do we know what time interval occurred in between here? Do you know, like, these are all important things. So injectors, we definitely recommend standardize your photos. Like, it's very easy to do a protocol, have somebody be against a backdrop. I mean, we could even work on this more.
Yeah.
And once we get into our permanent location, I think we will definitely be working on this even more. Maybe have a dedicated photography room.
We'd love that.
You guys don't need fancy cameras. You don't need fancy setups. Your phone will work just fine. Mm-hmm. But you want to make sure that the lighting is the same, that whoever's taking the pictures understands that you really need these pictures. And I think this goes to speak a lot, not just for the Instagram, but back to patient safety.
100%.
So when we have somebody who says, oh, this is a new spot, we can go back and say, actually, it wasn't. You just like are focused on something different now.
Yeah.
We can look at our work and say, look, this looks great. This was a good investment. Mm-hmm. So it like is proving that our treatment plans are really working.
Yeah.
But also we can monitor any patient complications if we have them.
Correct.
And look back and say, okay, that looked like it was a bruise there. Mm-hmm. It you know, it's progressing like this. It can actually help you with the safety of your patients. So.
And safety's number one.
Yeah.
I think too, speaking about derm, like I love taking the derm pictures so that I can monitor things. Because I only see the patient every 6 months if they have a history.
You don't remember everything? You don't remember every little mole?
I mean, certain ones I do. But yeah, no, it's good to see that progression. And sometimes it helps us catch things because of that as well.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, this is a medical practice.
Yeah.
This isn't just a beauty hack. Mm-mm. Okay. So you need to be vetting your injectors on things that are FDA approved products are being used. Injectors, if you are using fake filler, please stop immediately. Don't do it. It's naughty. Don't do it. You don't even know what's in it if you're getting it from somewhere else. Okay. And we've had people who have come who have brought the fake filler into our practice and it has no lot numbers on it. I know, slow blink. And we don't know what it is. I don't even know if it will dissolve. Like, no. We clearly don't know what it is. So please don't do that.
Well, we've also had other people come in that couldn't find their lot number either. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it was impossible to dissolve.
Yeah, it's really hard. It takes multiple rounds. It's like
tricky.
Don't do it. It could be cement for all we care. Like, don't do it. So prices vary through the injectors because of experience. Jenna and I go to continuing medical education all the time. Every time somebody offers us a learning experience, we are there.
Yes, please.
It doesn't matter how much we know, how much we think we know. You never know enough. Do not stop learning. Mm-mm. So that takes time out of our schedule. That takes time out of our pay. It's time that we can't see patients in our practice, but we don't care. We want to be the best. And in order to do that, you constantly have to keep learning.
Yeah.
Constantly. So injectors constantly have to keep learning. And for patients, you should be asking your injectors, do you go to conferences every year? What is the last aesthetic place that you went to learn? You know, how often do you get educated? Who have you trained with? These are important things, not just I took a 4-hour class or, I get trained by the reps that come in. That's unacceptable. And you need to be paying for medical conferences.
I mean, that could be an awkward conversation, but that's what we're trying to do is help you kind of
have that awkward conversation. Yeah. And I don't know how many people have come into our practice and been like, I felt uncomfortable. I didn't really want to stay, but I felt obligated once I was in the chair. Get up.
You're literally reading my mind. I was just about to say that. Like, but see, here's the thing. That's kind of like, if you're kind of
like
shy like me, that's kind of, it's hard to do.
Well, even for me, I don't like doing that kind of stuff. Right. I mean, look at like, I've had hair appointments that I'm like, oh, it was going bad the whole time, but I couldn't say anything. Like, it's awkward, but get up. This is your face. You can just say,
and you're not obligated.
I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
I have to work on this too. I've changed my mind.
Same.
It's okay. Nobody's perfect. Mm-mm. Yeah. And well, let's wrap up like this the tea everybody needs to know. Is it bad to get Botox at like a party or something?
I think that depends.
Yeah. On what?
on who the injector is.
Right. And what product they're using.
Exactly.
So again, vet your injectors. It's fine. You can get, we do pop-ups, we do parties, mm-hmm. we do all this stuff, but we know what we're doing and our medical malpractice covers us at different locations and our patients know that they're safe, you know? So you don't want to be walking in. I just sent Jenna this hilarious Instagram video. This girl was like setting up shop in her room. Mm-mm. And like put out like a folding chair and then was like, let's get ready to do lip filler injections. And I was like, this is in her bedroom. This is this is awkward.
And there are certain things that we do and do not do.
Yeah.
Because of safety and lighting and all of those things.
So many people have asked us, well, can't you do fillers at a pop-up? I'm like, we really hate to because we don't have enough time to like really go through and like educate the patient or assess the face. And the lighting may not be great. And we may
There's need a lot more of time. Things that go into it. It's not just
toxins boom, boom, a little boom. Bit quicker.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you know if someone is certified or trained properly just by looking at them?
No.
No. We see this all the time. I've seen injectors who have injected way longer than me, and I'm questioning some of their techniques, but it's because it's all, you are only a good injector based on what experiences and trainings you've had. Would you agree with that comment?
Yeah.
Like, I'm only good because of the people who have taken me under their wing, mm-hmm. mentored me, taught me, mm-hmm. and the education that I have received, the anatomy education, the like cadaver labs, the books I have read.
Right.
Like you're only as good as all that stuff that compiles. And I feel like you have to have a little bit of artistry within you.
So you
have that science, but you have to be like a little bit of an artist and have that eye.
Because it's not the one.
Ask to see their work. What should they ask during a consultation that will reveal red flags right away?
So I guess what kind of products they use.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. Red flags, like.
I think red flags would be like if they don't have any trainings that are not paid for, you know, that they're just like rep training.
Sure.
Like we only train with the reps that come into our office or we only have knowledge of like one product line. I think you should know about all the product lines. We only carry like two product lines, but I think you should know about all of them, the rheology, all that. I think you should ask about anatomy.
I have one.
What?
The patients that come in, they're like, I don't know what was used in the past.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't explain that to me. There's so many patients that are like, oh, nobody's explained that to me that I need to not touch my tox after tox.
Nobody has a consult. Nobody has aftercare. Nobody has what they use. Those are all red flags.
Yep.
Okay.
Phew. Perfect. I did it.
She did it. She's so good. I'm so happy. So basically, that's our tea for patients and some of the things injectors should be careful of.
Yeah.
As far as for injectors and colleagues, we have a whole like little section on what we wish we knew more of. So without further ado, training is not a one-time weekend course. If you do that, you're doing it wrong.
No.
I don't want to hear I took my 4-hour training certification and now I know how to do Botox. I don't want to hear it.
Botox is scary.
How many times did I say to you when we first met?
Yeah.
You'd say, well, it's just tox. And I'm like, actually, tox terrifies me. Mm-hmm. Neurotoxin terrifies me.
You can't see it.
You can't see it.
A couple days starting and then two to three weeks.
Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks we're learning now for full effect. And it's something that you're kind of like guessing because everybody's muscles are different. Everybody's muscle strength are different. So if I hear one more patient say, well, it was just Botox, so I thought it'd be fine. Like, okay, well, now you're walking around like this for 4 months. So
it's not
how fine is it?
Not a cute look.
You know?
Yeah. No.
I'm like, I think it's harder than people think. So I don't want to hear that you're taking a 4-hour class. Okay. It's not a one-time weekend course. It's a continual thing. When you sign up to be an aesthetic injector, you sign up to continually learn. I don't inject the same way that I did a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. We're always constantly evolving and changing, and we're always trying to stay up to date with the scientific, you know, medical journals and things like that.
Well, because even that's changing. Just like you said with the tox, we just went to a training and they're talking about, oh, instead of waiting 2 weeks, you should really be waiting 3 to 4 weeks.
And why is everybody waiting 2 weeks for doing things when the tox binds in a day or two? Nobody knows. Well, this is wild.
I know. So they're now looking into all of that.
Just saying things that we've been taught, by people who we trust, but where's the medicine and the evidence-based medicine behind it?
Correct.
So I think that that's really important. Also, ego over ethics. Okay. How many times have we gone to a conference and we hear this beautiful injector who we like absolutely adore, or this handsome man, and they're up there and we're like, they are an expert in our industry, right?
And got it going on.
Yeah. They are like, they're so lucky. They get to use their voice to talk to all these patients, to talk to all these injectors. They are shaping the future of our industry, right? And then they say what they're using, and they may knock a couple different products and say, this is what we use in our practice. This is why it's the best. And then we go to the next conference. And all of a sudden, they are backpedaling, and now they've jumped on the ship of the thing that they just said they didn't like and they didn't use and they were knocking. And I'm like, what in the?
I think you really have dilly-dally-o? To. I mean, for us, we are really into the products that work.
Yeah,
we and don't have want complications. Proven themselves.
We don't want to have to explain to our patient. We want our patient to come in and say, "I look phenomenal."
Yeah,
everybody's asking me what I did. We want
every time we don't
rarely get phone calls that are like, I don't see a difference, or no. You know, I need you to come in and show me what we did because I feel like my money wasn't well spent.
Right. So do we spend more money in order to get those products?
Yes.
100%.
Do I care if our return on investment is a little bit lower if we spend more money on a better product?
Because it is the patient's outcome, the patient's safety.
Preach, sister.
Yep. I do agree.
Preach.
And I think sometimes that is because that person who's talking in front of all the people might be being paid a little bit of money to talk about other things.
And the truth comes out, black side of the aesthetic medicine.
Yeah.
And that's true. And we've had numerous people tell us that, you know, when these companies are paying people to speak, they may or may not necessarily align with what the person actually thinks, but this is what they're told they have to say. They sign these contracts. I mean, I'm only a trainer for one company, you know, and I happen to love it. I love Revance. Mm-hmm. I'm behind it. I'm behind the science. Right. I'm behind the product. I think it integrates well. I've had so many good patient outcomes with it, and I believe in it. So it's easy for me to talk about it,
right?
But I'm not going to sign on with a bunch of companies that I don't believe in just to make an extra buck. Sorry, it's not going to happen. I know you want a big, beautiful salon, but that's not how we're going to get it.
Damn it.
All right. So let's move right along. So basically, you just want to be careful who you're looking at. You know, these people who have gotten a little too big for their britches. We always say, if we ever make it big, we're going to be the same old, same old.
Weird.
You heard it here.
Awkward.
Weird and awkward.
Funny.
Influencer injectors versus real medical providers. This is kind of along the same lines of what we just talked about. You know, you have these injectors that we think are so fun and they're so, you know, up to date, and they're doing all these trends and these reels. Like, they're spending all that time. I mean, this takes a lot of time. Where are the treated patients that they're doing? You know, just be careful that you're not like just looking at TikTok trends and these viral influencers. And then, I mean, some of the time I'm like, when do they even have time to treat their patients? They're always just TikTok dancing. I mean, we have to schedule a time for this, and we don't really love it.
We do it on our lunch, and we do it quick.
Quick. And we've made it fun because we have found that we have to be, you know,
ourselves. I mean,
in this realm now, we are medical providers first, but now we have to like kind of put on our marketing caps
and
you know, do the social media thing. And so we've made it fun, but just be careful that you're not being influenced or
it's not how you're choosing
or seeing trickery.
Right.
No trickery. Reps push products over patient safety.
Do-do-do.
Jenna's being cricketing right now because she's probably thinking, is Stacey going to bring it up? I'm going to bring it up.
I'm not sure how far you're going to bring this up, but
I'm going to bring it up.
The honest truth, y'all.
You cannot trust your reps until you vet them and you really know them.
It's true.
There have been shady, shiesty, scandalous
just
reps
out of control
who have come into our practice. One set up a training, then when there was a patient like outcome that was not exactly what we were looking for, said, oh, that's fine, that's totally fine,
I was never here,
and then said he was never there. What? Excuse me? What do you mean you? Well, this wasn't really a training. I'm like, excuse me? So you just have to be so careful. Like, these reps are not medical providers.
Right.
Okay. They are told what to say from the companies. Mm-hmm. They are told what to say to sell their product. Okay. And I'm all for reps. We have some Love of them. The best reps in the whole world.
Absolutely.
I'll put money on it. But they have had to really jump through hoops for us, for me to trust them. They have had to produce scientific journals for me if I've asked. They have had to talk to their medical liaison teams if I've asked a question that they couldn't answer. And that is what I want. I want you as patients to know that we are only working with reps that we truly like trust and that aren't just giving us an answer just to sell more product. And you as injectors need to make sure you're vetting these reps and not just doing trainings that they're offering for free and listening to what they say.
Right.
You actually have to question the information that they're giving you. Use your medical background. Use your intuition.
Yeah. If your gut is saying a red flag, maybe Stacy should be doing this instead of that person. Yeah. Then
we've had reps come in and one wanted to laser our face. Remember that? I said, I'm sorry, what's your medical degree? Oh, well, I don't have one. Well, then why would you think that I would let you use an ablative laser on my face? Is that within your scope of practice as a rep? Well, no, but I do it at all the trainings. I'm like, absolutely not.
Nice Step try, aside, though. Sir. Nice try. And that's an awkward conversation, too. But so you have awkward. To you have to advocate for yourself and your practice.
So awkward.
You do a very good job about that, by the way.
Are you sure? I also had one sales rep recently that said, I was like, well, what's the particle size on that? And they were like, well, it's like wicked small.
Wicked small.
Jenna wrote it down and slid it across to me and kind of stepped on my foot. That's Jenna's thing. If you see Jenna stepping on my foot, something weird's going on.
Which I can't reach you.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just push against me.
Okay.
Like, something weird is happening. And it's like our silent, like, yeah. Like she's like, are you seeing this? And I'm always like, yeah, I'm seeing it. Could you get off my toe? Thank you. So what should mentorship actually look like? Like, in your perfect world, if you could choose a mentor, what would that mentor do for you in the aesthetic world?
I think anatomy is so important. So what I really like about the trainings that you do is you almost shut up. Okay. You almost like you start there. It's like a pre homework kind of thing.
Yeah, like a little teaser.
Did I get that? I mean,
did you?
Not really. I had to go home and be like, but nobody is like giving me a piece of paper. The ones that you supply your students.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I wish I had that from the beginning.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what you have to do when you're looking at a mentor. And I luckily had that, right? Like, I've had so many people who have just been so kind to me at the beginning and then to us in general.
Right.
That just have taken us under their wing. They don't even charge us half the time for these like friendships and these mentorships. I mean, shout out to Julie from Pura Vida. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. Shout out to Lee Walker, MD. Shout out to Jenna Goldsmith in Buffalo. Shout out. I mean, there's a million. I mean, too many to shout out to.
Subio. 100%.
Subio.
Already did.
Shout out to April Harrison. What a freaking gem. Mm-hmm. Okay. And these people, some of them, I'm not even like great friends with them, but like if I message April Harrison, I've met her once in person, like years and years and years ago. But if I reach out to her, she responds to me. She gives me help. She collaborates with me. Mm-hmm. What a gem. I don't pay her anything.
Yeah.
Like, she just does it out of the kindness of her heart. Like, and these are what we should be doing for each other as injectors in the community. It's always patient safety and community over competition. If you need anything, you can always reach out to Jenna and I. If we don't know, I've probably talked to enough people that I know someone that does know because I never
You show. Talk to people?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Oh, gosh. You know what I was going to say? Sorry.
Yeah, please.
I was going to give you the Lee Walker example of the BD.
Hit us.
Bad decision.
Hit us.
So we were at a conference in Nashville. This is our second one with Lee Walker.
We love him so much.
I wish we had the tiny hands.
Oh, God.
Darn it. Anyways, so he was lecturing us on backfilling with BD syringes. And he's like, well, where's the clinical studies? And Stacy and I are all about clinical studies. So when we heard that, we're like, okay.
And he's okay. Like, what are you going to say when You're in court. There's a complication. They're like, you took this one thing that is a implantable device meant as a single use and you backfilled it into something else that's a different device not meant for that.
BD. Bad decision.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, and we quit.
And I'll never forget it because it's just funny. But I think when you're vetting a mentor, it's important to know that they are also doing the research and being backed up by clinical studies.
And they are actually trying to clearly make you a better, safer injector. And I think I've had this discussion with multiple, you know, companies that are selling the product. And I'm like, I don't understand why your trainers, I dissolve their work on a regular basis, or this happens, or, you know, this isn't really great, but you have them as a trainer. And they're like, oh, well, their Instagram presence is great. Or, oh, well, you know, everybody's different. And so it's just, it's a good fit for the company. They use a lot of our product. And I'm like, okay, but that's not really like, that's not really shaping the future of our future injectors.
Right.
And I get that you have to start somewhere, right?
Right,
like,
right.
Like, you can't just be like, well, here. I mean, we're constantly learning. You can't just overwhelm a new injector with all this information. I mean, we still get scared to inject every single day.
Right.
So I'm like, you can't just overwhelm these brand new baby injectors, but also you have to like not just give them a cookie cutter template and teach them that this is the way you do. You inject three spots on each cheek and you do 0.1. Like, Is everybody's face like that?
No.
That is not a safe way to learn. To
be review good. The anatomy. And allow them to understand what we're trying to achieve with the products that we're using.
Yeah. And don't you think it's important to have an understanding? Like, how many times do we go to trainings and these injectors don't know the aging process? They don't know what ages first. They don't know how to correct that aging.
And
they
even older injectors or more experienced injectors, we didn't talk about that back when we 100%. First started.
Right?
So
you're like, this is where you inject. To hide this. But now we understand so much more. So I think it's really important. Just choose a mentor that is also always available to you. Like if we, those people that we mentioned, if I pick up the phone right now, we could call them. They would answer. Like literally they would always answer.
Yeah.
Which is such like a nice feeling to have when you're
somebody
working on people's faces.
Yeah. 100%.
You have a team, a little village. The emotional burnout of watching shady practices thrive. This was a talking point that I was like, we don't worry about other practices anymore.
No.
So a lot of injectors are like really like, you know, pointing fingers and like saying like, oh, this practice is doing it wrong. Like, I hope it is my dream and goal. And like, I love that we're working on this in the Syracuse area, that we're all like able to talk with each other and there's enough patients to go around and we all help each other and we get this practice like to a point where people are not afraid of coming and getting aesthetic medicine. They're not going to look weird. They're not going to look fake.
Yeah.
There's enough patients. I don't care about the shiesty practices. I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on let's all elevate ourselves and each other and be the best we can so that our industry has a great name and we can like move forward together.
Right. And be safe for our patients.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about, you know, making a quick buck. You can get filler. We get a message on WhatsApp at least once a week that's like, would you like to work on this in your practice? And it's spelled incorrectly. And then we look and it's got like filler and like all this stuff on it. And we're like, what is this?
Check. Goodbye.
No. And the problem with that is, Some people click on it. They buy it because it's way cheaper. But now here's the real problem. You inject that into a patient's face. A patient gets that injected into their face.
Yes.
The patient comes back and says to that provider, this is causing a problem for me. Does that injector have a leg to stand on? Do they have a medical liaison team to reach out to? Do they have any lot numbers to give to their reps to say, hey, can you help me with this? Can we work on this together? No. As an injector, patient has no like other people to help with this, and you don't really know what it is. It's a problem. Shady. Have you ever been pressured to inject something you weren't comfortable with, Jenna?
By you or no? I'm just kidding. Stacey's always trying to push me off the ledge because it takes me probably 300 times to do something before I'm like, okay, goodbye. No. Because I feel like I, as a person, even though I'm very shy, I know what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna, if I don't know it, you know, I'm gonna ask a question.
100%.
Because you hear me and do it.
You just, guys, be smart. Don't be injecting, you know, things that are expired in your patients' faces. Don't be injecting weird things. This is just normal ethics. You want to treat your patients like their family. Yeah. You wouldn't do that with your family. You wouldn't do it with your face. Don't do it to anyone else's. Mm-mm. Let's see. Have you ever refused a patient, Jenna, or somebody brings in a photo of overfilled faces and they say, I want this? Like, what do you do?
I feel like this is a very awkward conversation, and I start with that. Hi, I have an awkward conversation for you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many patients, many. I mean, back when I was a baby injector, mm-hmm. I think we shared a patient.
Yeah.
Before we worked together. And it was like, no, I can't do this. It's not safe for you. And it's not going to provide you with the outcome. There's some patients that come in way too overfilled and like, well, I don't see anything happening. I've been getting this, this, and this. Well, that's because you're to a point where you're not going to see any changes because
The tissue doesn't even move anymore.
No.
And it's stuck in certain areas and it's blunting your smile or it's making you look overfilled or it's creating another problem.
But that, and then that's another point, like blunting their smile. They don't even realize what's wrong until we're like, hey, that's filler and this is what it's doing to your smile.
Oh, I thought my smile looked different. Yes. They didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think Jenna and I do a really good job of this. We play good cop, bad cop.
Ooh, yeah.
So we're like, this is what we can do for you. Mm-hmm. That's Jenna's job. She's good cop.
So.
And I'm bad cop. I'm like, we have to have a conversation. This is actually called body dysmorphia. Mm-hmm. This is actually like way unacceptable. This actually shouldn't be happening. This actually has disfigured you in certain areas.
Yeah.
This has changed your ethnicity. This is like a problem. Mm-hmm. And so this has, you know, made you more feminine. This has made you more masculine.
Right.
We've gone off of gender before. And like, what are you trying to achieve? And this is why this is not a good idea. We've had people slam doors. We've had people say, you don't want our money. And we're trying to pay you. And they get upset. I would say out of all of these patients we've had conversations with, where there's hundreds now, there's only two that haven't come back to us. The rest of them, they trust us now and they appreciate our input. Mm-hmm. They appreciate our honesty and our integrity. We are not just going to put stuff in your face. No. It doesn't matter how much money you give us. It's technically immoral to do that. Like, this is medicine. I'm not going to give you something you don't need.
Great.
Right?
Correct.
Like, if you don't need it, I'm not going to charge you for that. Yeah. And we'll tell patients, you know, you can, and that's safe, but like, that's a waste of your money. And patients are like, really?
Right. Or you're not doing the amount, the correct amount of things, which is a whole nother episode.
So, yeah. So we would really rather not touch your face today and wait for you to gain the budget that we need.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, we tell people no.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens.
We have to.
All right. So basically, hilarious questions that we can tackle together to wrap up this episode.
Okay.
Do you want to answer the question of what's the wildest thing a patient has said mid-treatment to you?
Mid-treatment?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go with bug one, but I guess we talked about that in episode one. Because that's the wildest thing that's ever happened
mid-treatment. A bug crawled out of a patient's forehead. She did not realize it. Jenna snatched it and just took it out of the room. That's wild. That's the wildest thing that's ever happened.
Why don't you go first and let me think for a second?
Okay. The wildest thing a patient has said mid-treatment. I mean, they say wild things all the time. Mm-hmm. Like half the time people are like, oh, I thought this was going to be way worse.
Okay. Or, I figured it out.
Okay. Oh, wow. That was quick.
That was quick. But this is how I work.
Yeah. Tell me.
It takes me a couple minutes. So we have some distracting tools, kind of like needles, but a little bit inappropriate.
People.
Okay. So we have vibrators. We have fake boobs. We have a peach that looks like a butt.
We had a squishy that is a pink cat that I refer to as my pink pussy.
Yep. These things actually are really great icebreakers for patients.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Also distract them as they're getting their 100%, stabbed in the face.
100%. Right? It's a great distractor. But Stacy and I work across the hall from one another, and I on a daily basis, I'm always like, where's my vibrator? And then her patient would chime in, oh, sorry, we stole it.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. A great,
so that's
one.
That's funny.
Yeah. People all the time. Where's the boob? Where's the vibrator?
Yeah.
I'm like, keep it above the waist.
Why is your butt ripped in half?
I know.
The hot, my mom got me that hot dog, the wiener.
Yeah.
And the head's almost torn off.
Yeah.
Sorry,
it's
mom.
It's actually like a hot dog with like a wiener dog in the middle of it. Like a hot dog.
It's hot. Yeah. We'll bring it.
Yeah, we could bring
it. Before we throw it away, yeah, because it's close.
It's
close. Sorry, mom. It's almost deceased. Yes.
And what product nickname makes you laugh every time? What's the newest one that we just learned about?
Oh, Letabo?
No, there's a one that makes me laugh that has Radius and it's like the duo, but it's called Rahahaha.
Oh, Rahaha.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's Radius, hyaluronic acid.
No.
Yep.
Ha ha ha.
Ka ha ha.
Ka ha ha. That makes me laugh every time, Jenna.
Ka ha ha.
Because it literally has a ha ha in it.
Because it's Kaha.
So we learned the H-A. New product. That's it. So we're combining biostimulants with the hyaluronic acid filler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, aesthetics can be fun.
Yeah.
When you have vibrators, boobs, and
Kaha
in the name of your procedure.
Yes.
All right. So basically, we want to just take you away with the thought process that if patients want to go somewhere else, mm-hmm, let them.
Let them.
If they underestimate you or don't think that you are a good fit for them, let them. There's let enough them. To go around.
Mm-hmm.
When you're aligned with your values, you're aligned with your morals, you know what you want for your patients, you don't need to prove a darn thing. However, good injectors will prove it. So ask your injectors all mm-hmm of the questions and they should sit down. Make sure they're giving you an adequate consult. Make sure you don't feel rushed. Make sure that they have continued their training. Mm-hmm. Make sure that they've gone to different.
We're proud to talk about it.
100%.
I'll get my glasses out.
I will get my certificates out. That is my favorite thing to. I'm like, boom, boom. Which one would you like to look at?
Should put those in a booklet.
You want to?
Yeah.
Oh, add it to our list of things to do.
Okay. Yeah.
And we want to encourage the patients to prove to choose proven injectors.
Yeah.
Say that five times fast with Invisalign. You know, providers that have integrity and that want to rise above the noise and that want to, you know, just foster community in our industry and not be, you know, pointing fingers at everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, evidence-based proven injectors. Mm-hmm. And then there's nothing shady about standards.
No.
You should have them. And there's nothing sexier than patient safety.
Wah, wah.
Mic drop. Play-Doh drop. So thank you for joining us on episode 2
Number
of the Cosmetic Queens podcast, Stab and Jab.
We love you so much.
We love you. Subscribe, like, tell your friends.
Follow for more. On to the commercial.
On to the commercial.